Good evening. I'm Sam Friedman with the KUAC News Minor Update. The Fairbanks School District says it will take time to address the problems with local school buses. School bus contractor First Student is facing a shortage of drivers. But, as KUAC's Robert Hannon reports, poor communication may be a larger issue.
Fairbanks North Scarborough School District CFO Lisa Pierce and District Transportation Coordinator Ryan Hinton told board members Tuesday the bus situation was unacceptably bad. Top cause is a driver shortage. The bus company First Student was down some 20 drivers. So Hinton says the district has started combining routes.
One bus to cover multiple scheduled routes, but the combination wasn't scheduled. It's just based off what's still open, so that bus is going to be late.
That should get better, Hinton says, as more drivers come on board. And Pierce says the national chief of First Student admits the company's failures.
A quote on the phone from him was, "We're screwing up and we know it."
But both Pierce and Hinton underscored another problem, communication. Hinton says the district really has no idea whether buses actually ran their routes.
We suspect some of these buses kind of fell through the cracks in the confusion. We suspect they didn't run, or if they ran so late that they didn't pick anybody up. So essentially, the run was not complete.
Further, despite promises from First Student management that communications would improve, Hinton admits the district has no idea how this weekend's dry runs on the combined routes went.
What was posted today, it doesn't include any feedback from those dry runs, so we're operating off the plan right now.
Pierce says there are financial penalties the district can levy against First Student. She says last year those penalties amounted to roughly $900,000. The contract this year is for $14 million. But in answer to board questions, she admits the district relies on First Student to report missed or partially fulfilled routes, exactly the information that's missing. She hopes some new scheduling software will improve that gap, but again, she says, First Student will have to comply for it to work. In Fairbanks, I'm Robert Hannon.
According to the president and CEO of the Golden Valley Electric Association, the Healy 2 coal plant is expected to be operational again next year. GVEA bought the dormant coal plant in 2013 for $44 million, hoping to generate cheap energy. Utility officials knew the plant would require improvement, but there's been more work than expected. Only 2 days after passing its commissioning test in March 2016, a mill puff explosion shut the plant down. A second mill puff explosion shut the plant down again in November 2016, just as work crews began ramping the plant up to go back online. After completing repairs to Healy 2 after the explosions, GVEA hired a company called MillPro LLC to determine why the explosions occurred. GVEA President and CEO Corey Borgeson said the firm determined that minor modifications might be made to improve pressure levels in the coal feed system. The cost of the modifications has not been finalized, but Borgeson said it should be less than $20 million to complete the work, rehire employees and train them, and then run Healy 2 through commissioning. Borgeson expects the plant will be operational in July 2018. The plant was originally built for $300 million in the 1990s as a U.S. Department of Energy program that advanced coal-burning technologies. Originally called the Healy Clean Coal Project, it was shut down in 1999 because of safety and reliability problems. It produced energy intermittently during the 2 years before being shut down. In May, Borgeson said that when Healy 2 is operational again, it would produce energy competitive with anything produced in the rail belt and could be sold to other utilities, thus lowering energy costs for GVEA members. A North Korean nuclear bomb test was detected in Alaska. State seismologist Michael West says that Alaska Earthquake Information Center seismometers clearly registered the underground blast on Sunday.
An explosion of magnitude 6.3 is something that can be viewed or recorded really all around the globe.
West says the center seismometers, which regularly detect earthquakes, also pick up other disturbances like landslides and detonations in mines. He says signals from explosions, like the underground North Korean nuke test, are completely different from those of an earthquake.
During an earthquake, the earth shears in very complicated ways, and that creates a whole mix of very different looking seismic waves that propagate out in all different directions. An explosion is actually a much, much simpler source. It has one very simple motion. Everything is outward from the source.
West notes that the nuke test, although significant at magnitude 6.3, was not strong enough to affect the balance of tectonic plates. For more on these stories and others, go to newsminer.com or kuac.org. I'm Sam Friedman.